I want to welcome also our video venue. And so as we look at the Word of God, we're looking at this whole thing of what God's been doing to help build a facility and help build a building. And I've been talking a little bit about this, and today I really want to kind of let you know we're looking at, in a way, a chapter two. Chapter one is just stepping out on faith several years ago with no money, kind of on a as a wing and a prayer type thing, and just seeing what God did to bless us. And he did, and we have touched hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and then thousands of people who are alumni of New Life that are now all over the world. But we always did this as kind of maraudering, kind of wandering around multiple locations. And now the Lord has blessed us with a location for a mother campus. But I want to really emphasize this today. A building is not the church. It's a tool. And the church are the people. And so I think chapter two is God calling his people to deepen like they've never deepened before. I'd like to have the lights come up more in the live campus, if you don't mind, so people can just see their notes a little bit better. I believe it's really critical that our children have a stronger foundation than ever before. This is a time, if you're a parent, to not mess around in your personal life on your in compromising in any way. There are so many alternatives to the idea of what truth is and what truth claims are. The only language, the language that is going to speak louder than any church, than any message, than anything a youth pastor or a children's pastor can say is this: your life. That's going to speak louder than anything else. And so I want to talk about that just a little bit today. This past week, if I seem a little tired, and you go, no more normal, John, thanks. But we had a blessing to have. We have, in the last 14 months, three grandchildren blessed in our life, Pam and I. We had all three of them for the first time in our home, and they're all in diapers. And when they're hungry, they all cry. And it's great, and it's wonderful, but man, it's just like, whoa, it was just really wonderfully loud and smelly, okay? And we'd forgotten those days. And one of our kids took a picture of them and put it on Facebook, and I was looking at this picture of, you know, our 17-month-old and, you know, just our two other little babies there, and it just really struck me, this whole thing, how can I make a lasting impact on their lives? Because as I looked at these three little ones, given the impact of where people are at these days in their health and what the medical field has been doing, all three of those little ones in that picture on Facebook could be 22nd century people. They could live that long. Very easily, they could live that long. And I don't know what the 21st century is going to have in store for them. But I want to be able to leave a legacy for them. And I have a protective heart for these grandchildren. And, you know, maybe some of you are that way. You're kind of controlling, and you want to do the very best for your children, and you want to protect your children, and you want to be there for your children. But you know what life says and what the Word of God says. The Word of God says is we have no guarantee on that. And we can say, I'm going to always be there for my kids. Well, you might not be. And so the question today, as I was wrestling with this, is how can we impact other people forever? What can we do if we're not going to be there? Because you see, when we're there, we kind of like to play God. We want to be the protector. We want to be the provider. We want to be the guidance person for them. Well, circumstances might change all of that. So what can we really leave to future generations? What do we have to leave? And my answer to that is really the only real legacy that we can leave is a hope, a deep hope, a deep conviction in who Jesus Christ is. Because if you have that anchor, you have everything. But if you do not have that, you know what? I have done too many memorial services, too many funerals, where there's been an anchor in the family that passed away, and I have seen that family just unravel almost in front of my eyes. And you can, and if you want it to pin it on you somehow, some way, you might feel good about that because you have that need to be needed. But the greatest legacy that you can leave your children is displaying and modeling a deep hope and a deep conviction of who Jesus Christ is, and then instill that in your children's lives. Now, I've looked at my grandchildren. They don't understand that their great-great-grandfather has already had an impact and influence on them. Why? Because my grandfather had a great impact on my life, and I'm their grandfather. And so as we are pouring into the people around us, whether you have children or not, my goodness, the Word of God is so full of being the family, the body of Christ. Whenever we dedicate children up front here, we make a pledge as a church as a whole, will you help this family, you know, raise up their kids the way they should be? And so I want to talk and take just a few minutes on the importance of life and the importance of what we should pass on to future generations, because we live in a culture today in causes. If you feel really deeply about a cause, that's all you have to do. You don't really have to give any time or money, but if you're ever talking about it with someone at Starbucks and you feel really deeply about it, you know, I'm vegan, how dare you ever eat meat or whatever the issue is, okay? But what the Word of God is about is not being just so passionate and talking about things. It's just quietly doing. You know what the Word of God says in a way? Just put up or shut up. Really? That's what it says. And there are two things that are actually most important. You can write these down because they're not on your notes. They're really just two things that are going to last forever. The first is this. It's God's Word. God's Word. And the second thing that's going to last forever, according to the Bible, is people. And they have an eternal destination, either heaven or hell. What the Bible says. We teach basically what the Bible says on this. So really, what we're going to look at today, some very simple steps here now, is two things. Learn to love God and learn to love people. In your life, if you learn to love God and learn to love people, you know what that does? That really helps to clarify and simplify a lot of things. So you can, you know, tear the label off. You know, like when someone is no longer in a certain position in a corporation, in the old days, they would take the name off of the door. Then they would put a new name on the door. And so you can have that in your life. You know, you have different labels. You are, if you're a follower of Jesus, a child of God with a purpose, and you can slide in and out occupations and titles and whatever, but what's going to last forever is how well have you been loving God and how well have you been loving people. And that adds a lot of clarity. So these are the two most important things in life. In fact, an early leader asked Jesus, you know, what's the most important commandment? What's the most important thing in life? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you don't memorize a whole lot of things in scriptures, that's a great one to memorize right there. So look at your notes. This is another way of summing that up. And it says this. Love is more important. Would you underline more important there on your notes? These little things right here. Love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything completely together. And so, you know, we're excited about this building and about this facility and the direction that God is calling New Life. And New Life has actually eternal purposes. But we have out in the lobby, if you haven't seen this, some of you might be newer guests here today. If you haven't noticed, up above where the coffee is and the food and stuff, we have a big poster up there that has some renderings of what the facility, the building could look like. And so, but there's nothing like, I drop by the property once in a while off Pena Adobe Road on I-80, and just kind of imagine what this building is going to look like on the property. Have you ever done that? It's kind of a cool thing to do. And right now there's little deer running around with little fawns. They will still be there, okay? Don't worry about the little deer. God loves them. He'll take care of them. All right. But here's a question. What do you think that building's going to look like in 2112? Not 2012. 2112. Because the truth is, I think it has a purpose and it has a place for us right now. But the most important thing, God has a long-term statement for that building to be there on I-80. This is a group of people committed to loving God and loving people. But the only thing really that's going to last, you guys, is people. That's the only thing. You know, the building is there to help transform people. So as we look at these little blanks that you have here, I'm going to give you some suggestions, because really what I want to do is challenge us for the next 12 months, people that are followers of Jesus here especially, and are part of New Life. And if you're not a part of New Life and you're checking things out, well, you're going to know a lot more really what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what it means of what New Life is about. Because I'm going to call people to go deeper than you ever have before for the next 12 months. Why? Because I am fully convinced we must be prepared. We must be ready. As we get into this new facility, you guys, you know what a miracle it is for people to even find us here? I'm just, every week when people show up here, I'm going, really? They found this little warehouse tucked way back in a corner here? Good for you. We've always kind of been known as a church like that. If you can figure out where we're at, you know, we're an okay place to be. But, you know, we're going to be out on I-80, and it's going to naturally be attracting hundreds of new people, and we need to have this core group that is at this warehouse here to be ready to love God and to love people, because God is trusting us with thousands of people that will be exposed to the potential of who Jesus is through that building. And so how can we reach out together with God's love? And to start out with this is, there's a guy named Abraham Maslow. And he had the hierarchy of needs. I don't know if you've ever heard of this before. It's not, it's informative, but it's not all-inclusive. And he kind of has a triangle thing on this. And you can write these down. I don't think it's going to come up on your screen. He has basically a kind of a building blocks of the needs in people's life. And the very bottom block there is physical needs. So you can write that in somewhere on their notes if you have a chance. And basically, when people have needs, the number one need that has to be met is, you know, warmth and food and things like this, air. if you don't have, you know, water and food and air, it becomes a distraction in your life very quickly, okay? So that's the first need. But once that need is met in people's life, then the second need is security. People want to feel safe. And so if they've been well-fed and they can breathe well, but there's a grizzly bear, you know, 10 feet away from them, then their safety needs are not being met, okay? And so the next level is security and safety in their life. Then after that, the next one is people want to feel like they belong, that they have a place to connect relationally with each other. Then the need after that is respect or esteem. They want to be have somewhere a community of people that respect who they are and what they're doing. Because a lot of times, people are stressing out. They have this invisible audience of people that they're trying to live up to in their life. And then the very top of the pinnacle of this is self-actualization. That is, purpose in your life. So there it is. And so as we look at our notes here, how do I become a loving person, and how do I make an impact on people's lives? I'd like to go through this hierarchy here and see what the Bible says about this. So the very first thing here, how can I reach out together with God's love, is this: by offering physical assistance. That's the first thing. You know, the very bottom need in Abraham Maslow's thing is physical needs. And so how can we meet needs in people's lives? How can we be more loving? The Bible tells us to meet needs. So the very first thing here is just this. Number one, by offering physical assistance. So you can fill in your blank there on that. Real religion, the kind that God accepts as pure, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless, orphans and widows when they suffer, and to remain uncorrupted by this world. In another passage, a godly woman is quick to assist anyone in need and reaches out to help the poor. More and more new life will be known for this. We're creating more and more options and ways to where we can impact people's lives, especially people that have physical needs in their lives. So what are some ideas here? I have the word possibilities here, and I'd like you to write some things in there yourself of what you might see there. What can you do? You know, we are teaching you how to engage with other people, how to be more loving with them. When was the last time you just brought a simple meal over to someone who is a shut-in? Why not? Why not do something like that? Or you see someone, you know, I get it. I understand someone's sitting on a corner and they have a little sign and, you know, we'll work for food and whatever. Why don't they get a job? They look da-da-da-da-da. And I get all of that, and you're probably right. But why not sometime risk the money to just buy them a sandwich and hand it to them? Why not? What's it going to hurt? You know, well, I don't want to look stupid. I'm going to look ripped off. Why not? Why not? You know, there are a ton of ways. The key here, though, is to give physical needs to someone who isn't just in your small group or someone who's already part of new life. What I'm talking about here is someone, as far as you know, doesn't really know Jesus, and they're outside the church. And there's a lot of ways that you can maybe be helpful to other people. And so it's just basically, if you're a follower of Jesus at New Life, we should have the reputation. This is full of nice people. They're always there to give a hand and to help people out. But physical needs is a really big one. Another one is by offering emotional support. Offering emotional support. And that's the next level here, is people need to feel like they belong. You know, they really have, that they're not threatened. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete the Christ law. And you know what? Everyone needs comfort at times. Are you aware of that? We just all do. And Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says, when one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone, when they fall, are in real trouble. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. American culture is the most individualistic, lone wolf culture ever. The idea of community, the idea of really hanging together. Sure, there are pockets of people like that. But, you know, it's just kind of ironic. The more we're connected on the internet, the more lonely people really are. And you know, someone kind of did a deal on this once. They had this huge internet community with all these other people and whatever, and decided to say, hey, we should all meet together someplace. And they had this place locally. And no one showed up. I mean, he had like 150 people that he was engaging with all the time on the internet. But when he actually wanted to be a real person with someone else and set this location, everyone said, yeah, I'll be there. No one showed up. And it's kind of an ironic thing of where we're at in a culture today. And people, it says, reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs. So what could this be? How can you do this? Just maybe at work or something. Do it in an appropriate way. But when the conversation's right, maybe you're at coffee with someone and maybe they're talking about a need of their life or whatever. And it might even be a client. And you're going, oh man, I need to get a sell here. But all of a sudden you see tears coming in their eyes. You know, it's not like, would you sign on the contract and I'll listen to you? You know, it's just, you know, really see people for who they are. And maybe you just ask, hey, how can I pray for you? Say, I like to pray, and I like to see what God's doing. And you can just ask a question, how can I pray for you? Or maybe, you know, there's a need going on in their life. What you can do, you know, anyone can get a Kindle reader now and any kind of laptop, is you just gift them with a book in a certain area and say, hey, this is a gift from me. I know you're dealing with some parenting issues, and this book helped me, and boom. You know, just give them some helpful things. And that would be under possibilities here is how, you know, but everyone, how you can help others. But everyone, really, one of the best things you can do is just listen to them. Just give a listening ear to some people because they get so discouraged. But number three then, the next level up, is by offering loving hospitality. By offering loving hospitality. And people need community. They need a place where they really feel they belong. It says, reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it for you, and now you do it also. And that word there, welcome, you have a list of other alternatives of what that can mean. It means accept one another. Have you ever been at a place where you didn't really feel accepted at all? I was in Germany once, and just hopped on a train. It took me out of town to this little place. And I went in there, and with my best German I could do, which is not good at all, tried to order a little bit of lunch. And then I heard people talking in English around me. I don't know, this place really had it in for Americans. And, you know, the waitress came up and says, "You're American. I suppose all you want is Coca-Cola and ice cream." And so I said, "Yeah, could you make it vanilla, please?" You know, and then you know they're going, "Yeah, you know, Americans," you know, and just all around me, I was just feeling this really frosty, unwelcome type environment. And so I, you know, being the diplomat I was, says, "Look, we won the war. Get over it." No, I did not say that. I did not say that. But I was feeling it. Okay, But this idea is a church should be a safe place. It should be a place where when people come in, look, let me stretch it here a little bit for you. I have all the confidence in the world. If a transvestite were to walk in the New Life, our greeters would hand them a program and say, "How you doing? Can we give you a name tag? There's coffee over here." And they would not blink an eye. Because that is the type of safe environment. Because it has nothing to do with condoning or whatever. It has everything to do. You accept the person because Jesus loves them. Amen? Amen. All right. That's what I'm saying. And so it's like, I don't want anyone to think that I'm condoning the way this gentleman is dressing right now. So I'm not going to be friendly to him. Uh-uh. No. It has nothing to do with that. Jesus sat and fellowshiped with the most scandalous people. All right. So the deal with us is we just need to be really hospitable, and I'm really running out of time. Just let me give you some possibilities here. I think I just gave you one. Take a transvestite to lunch. There you go. Woo. All right. All right. Invite unbelievers in your home is another way of saying that. But actually what I just said, I am serious about, okay? If God brings someone in your life who's radically different in their lifestyle than you, thank God and be their friend. Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you. So here's another idea. Do what you love to do and invite unchurched people. I talked with a pastor friend. Does anyone here at all remember breakdancing? Does anyone still have calluses on your back from breakdancing? This guy loved breakdancing. And so what he did is when he would go breakdancing, he just started inviting some of his unchurched friends. And this thing got so big that he started doing an annual event back in the day for breakdancing. And he asked his pastor, "Hey, do you have a larger room that I could do this in?" And he goes, "How many do you need it for?" And he goes, "About 1,000. Yeah, he had 1,000 people showing up. You know, can you imagine aging boomers and busters, you know, doing breakdancing now? It'd be just kind of an ugly scene. Yeah, okay. And we have many people in denial. Okay, But you know, just whatever you love to do, if you love to go dancing, if you love music, jam with unbelievers, you know, or if you ball games, whether you go to them or playing them or restoring cars, you know, whatever it is, baking, you know. But another one is by offering generous affirmation. That's just huge. Outdo one another in showing honor to each other and treat each other with dignity. We live in a culture. And, you know, some of you need to just refrain from a lot of these TV shows that are just so sarcastic and so cutting. And they just cut people down left and right. And, you know, you can get into that habit really easy. You know, some of you don't know, way back in the day, Gary Busey is really making a strong attempt to be a follower of Jesus. And we had him at New Life. And, you know, he had a big crowd. I'll say to this day, it is the most memorable Sunday we have ever had at New Life Church. You have no idea. But we went to dinner a couple of times and shot pool and came over to our house and strummed guitars and, you know, just a bunch of stuff. But I remember afterwards talking with a couple of friends and stuff. I was uncomplimentary. Not in a mean way, but just kind of in a joking way. Says, you know, that guy is just kind of crazy, you know, blah, 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 you know. I'm not saying anything that any of you don't know, okay? All right. But I remember I saw one episode of, the Donald Trump show. I don't know the name of it. But Gary Busey's on that show. And he said one thing. He says, you know, I just know people are talking about me behind my back. He says, I know I have a brain injury. And I know people are talking about me behind my back. And I remember years ago, God convicted me of that. It says, John, look, this guy's trying to do the best he can, and he's just one of my crazy kids, okay? And that's kind of what I heard. And he said, but you are too. And so that was, you know what, you guys? You do not have license to ridicule anyone, even if they're in a different political spectrum than you or whatever. We never do, and followers of Jesus don't do that. So ideas under this is compliment and affirm unbelievers especially. Find ways to do that. You know, look, our politicians and local leaders, they get reamed all the time in editorials in the local paper. Why don't you send a personal note sometime to some of your local leaders? Or how about this? You know, most of the time, when there's school teachers and a parent wants to meet with them, you know what the school teacher's thinking? Oh, good, they're going to come and give me a bunch of compliments. That isn't what they're thinking. And I do understand there's issues at times, but why not just write an encouraging note once in a while to maybe a school teacher or, four cops came in this week at Starbucks and I offered to buy them all coffee and didn't realize there's policy they can't take it. And so I drank four cups on behalf of them. but just affirming. But I could tell there's just something that lit up in their eyes. It says, hey, guys, appreciate what you're doing. I know you're on duty away from your families, whatever. I'd like to buy you all drinks at Starbucks here. But just affirming things that you could do. Send cards, send emails, text, phone calls of affirmation. It could be just little things. Someone on your block has a new little baby. Just send them a little note. Congratulations. You might not even know all their names yet, but just a handwritten note, okay? And then by offering meaning and purpose in life. This is the highest need, and really it's the one of calling. Jesus, my purpose is to give life in all of its fullness. And here's the problem. When you try to have self-actualization, it's all about you. What am I going to do? How is this going to be in my life? What am I? You know what? You will never be fulfilled. When you give up, like that's, I surrender all to you, that type thing. When you give that stuff up and say, God, just help me love you and people better. So wherever you place me, whatever you want me to do in that, I will do. And so, you know, possibilities then for people that are far from God is we send out invitational mailers with certain interesting series. You know, invite people to those things or, sponsor a short-term DVD-based small group. This is why we have small groups to really connect with other people. So I want to, there was a verse at the beginning of your notes, and I wanted to bring it up right now at the end. And it's two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a multiplied return on their labor. And I want those that are part of New Life, understand if you are a part of New Life in this time, in this season, I believe if you're a follower of Jesus here, you're part of a new core group. Our original core group was 30 to 40 people, and that, you know, exploded 10, 12, sometimes 15 times more, more than that, 20 and 20-something times more than the original core. What if that were to happen again? We have a core group. Let's say we have a core group of 600 this time around. What does God want to do to reach our community? What would he want to do? But we have to prepare our hearts and our minds for that. And so for the next 12 months, 11 to 12 months, as we're getting ready to open up this new facility, I want to call those that are followers of Jesus, even when you're discouraged sometimes, even though when you're feeling like you're falling short, I want to call you to a deeper spiritual growth than you've ever had before in your life. I want to call you to prayer and fasting this year like you've never done before in your life. I want to call you to befriend people that are far from God like you've never done before in your life. I want to call you to bless our community like you've never done before in your life. And so some practical things, what can you do with this? Well, first of all, if you're a follower of Jesus here and you haven't been baptized, sign up. We're going to do it next week. You're commanded to be baptized. Another thing is, we have what are called classes here, class 101, 201, 301, 401. If you're going to be a part of what's going on here, you can't just take it. You got to sign up. You got to put your name on the line. You can't just stay on the sideline, because talk's cheap. And so, we've had some people at New Life for years, and you've never even taken 101. What's with that? Come on. This is a time to step up and to sign up in order to grow up. I just made that up wasn't that really? That really rang. And I just made that up. That's pretty good. Okay, I will not remember that next hour, but it was good just for you. Okay. Pray for your friends, things like this. Maybe plan an informal block party Labor Day weekend. You have all summer to do that. Do fun things this summer and invite, unchurched friends to all of this. But you're called to be a part how to impact people for forever. Connect them with Jesus. That's how you do that. And I wanted to get you to remember this. I want to get you to remember this thing. And so this is really corny, but you will remember it, whether it's corny or not. The advertising world already knows about this, okay? So do you remember the Titans? They have a song at the funeral. It went, na, 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 hey. Then how does it end? Yeah, do you know that? You guys are really shy. Can we sing it? I want to sing it even softer. Can we? Na, 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 na. Okay, all right. So, but I want to add words to it. Here it is, okay? Love Jesus, love Jesus. I know, corny, forgive me. Hey, all my life. Okay, let's sing that, ready? Love Jesus, love Jesus. Hey, 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 all my life. Other part. Love people, love people, hey, all my life. Back to Jesus, love Jesus, love Jesus, hey, all my life. People, love people. Hey, all my life. So if you go out and you say, what was the message about last week? Okay, love you guys so much. You know, what we're going to do right now is we're going to celebrate because of what Jesus has done for us. Look, how are you going to have impact on people for forever? Be a part of what Jesus did. Jesus had an impact on your life, what he did 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. And he said, remember this. And the way he's done that is through communion.